That is the voice of George Chakiris here on Dave's Gone By, singing the A Chorus Line song, What I Did for Love. And he did a lot for the love of theater and dance, and he won an Oscar for the movie version of West Side Story. He played Bernardo, so we'll be asking George Chakiris about that role, about that whole film, plus all the people that he's worked with in TV and film over the years, as well as his current activities. We're very excited. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this is the first Oscar winner that we have ever had on Dave's Gone By. So it's pretty exciting for me to be welcoming to the neighborhood the one and only George Chakiris. Hello, George. Can you hear me?
Hello. I don't hear you quite as well as I did before, but I think I can hear you.
I'll talk a little closer to the mic. Before, I was on the regular phone, but now I've got to be...
I apologize, but I'm going to have a problem understanding you, because when we first spoke, it was good, but it's not so good right now.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll try and talk a little slower and a little louder. How does that sound?
Okay.
No, sir, I'm not joking. Does that sound okay to you now? Kind of. We'll work it.
It's the quality of it's not the volume, that's not the clarity, it's the quality of the sound. And again, when we spoke earlier, it was fine, but right now something has changed, and it's not as audible.
Okay, if worse comes to worse, I'll take you out of the board, and I'll talk through, like, the speaker of the telephone if I have to do that. So,
okay, well, we'll do the best we can, sure.
Excellent. Thank you. And again, welcome. Let me ask, well, let's get right to the legendary film and performance from West Side Story. Please just tell me your memories of getting the role in the film of Bernardo, how you auditioned. Did you do, audition for Robert Wise, or for what happened? How did you get the part?
Having worked as a chorus dancer in a lot of great movie musicals and so on, I was having a wonderful time here, but that came to an end, so I thought it was time to go to New York. I'd never been there before, and a couple of friends put me up on the couch in their living room, and it just coincidentally it happened, at that time, they were auditioning for the London company of West Side Story, and my friends who put me up on the couch in their living room knew everything that was going on. One of them worked for Roger L. Stevens, who was a major Hollywood producer. I'm sorry, a Broadway producer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they told me they knew about the West Side Story situation. They told me, George, go to the Winter Garden Theater, where West Side Story is playing, and ask for Ruth Mitchell, who is the stage manager. And that's exactly what I did. And when I met her, she was very nice, and she said, I think you should audition for the role of Bernardo. So that was set up, and a few days later, I went in and read for Jerry Robbins. And then I read the role of Bernardo, and then he asked me to look at the role of Riff for about 20 minutes or so. So I did that, and I came back and read the role of Riff. Then he asked me to learn Cool, which is Riff sings Cool in the theater production. I did that, and then came back again for another audition maybe a week or so later. And then finally on my birthday, September the 16th, Ruth Mitchell called me and told me that I had the part of Riff in the London company of West Side, so a fantastic, incredible birthday. It was just great.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I did the show for a year and a half in London, and none of us ever thought that we'd ever get near the film version when we started hearing about it. We heard names like Elizabeth Taylor and Elvis Presley and so on, but some of us, and I'm sure a lot of other kids were tested too, but some of us in the London company did get letters from United Artists asking us to do film tests, and that was exciting, God knows. So I did that, and about 5 or 6 weeks after that test, mm-hmm. I got a call from Jerry. He was calling me from Jerry Robbins, calling me from Los Angeles, saying we liked your test, but we'd like to test you further. So this is a long story. I'm sorry, but
no, it's great. Yeah,
I got a leave of absence to fly to Los Angeles and do a test I met Robert Wise for the first time. Anyway, I did the test directed by Jerry, and then went back into the show the following Sunday.
Yeah.
And then, again, some weeks later, I finally had a telegram that told me I had the role of Bernardo in the film. It was there's a long but linear answer to your question.
Well, sure.
To tell you how that all happened for me. It was great.
Well, do you have specific memories of working with or being choreographed by Jerome Robbins?
I'm so sorry.
Any memories?
But I'm really not hearing you very
of
well.
Of course.
I'm so sorry. I know this is live, and I don't like to put anybody on the spot, but
it's the quality
of the sound. It's like a cell phone that doesn't work well, you know?
Let me know if you hear this. Any memories on specific directions from working with Jerome Robbins?
Oh, thank you. That nice flow question really helped.
Good.
Absolutely. First of all, Jerry was a perfectionist, first of all, himself. And by extension, that was us. We had to rise to his level as much as we could. He was fantastic to work for. He was exciting. He was thrilling. He was inspirational. And his way of very often Jerry was the kind of director, as I recall, that would ask, didn't just tell you what to do, where to go, what to think, what to feel. Which is fine, but he also would ask us to contribute ourselves, to think ourselves about the character and who the character was, how the character felt, and in other words, to bring something to the table ourselves, and not just do what we were asked to do. And I always found that really wonderful, because you were a collaborator instead of just someone who was doing what they were being more or less suggested to do. And collaborating with Jerry was exciting. You felt you were part of the process, and of course you were. I could go on and on about Jerry, because I have such high regard and esteem for this man. He was just absolutely, Jerry was a genius. Jerry absolutely was genius, and in everything he did. Working with Jerry, and his specific, again, I think to be specific, I haven't been already, I'm sorry.
Sure.
I think the thing that was, just his presence was inspirational. It just made you rise, it just made you were inspired by his presence before he said anything. And then, again, his asking you to work as a collaborator rather than just as an actor was inspiring as well, and I think it really his way of working I loved the way Jerry worked. I wish I could be more specific, but I hope that
question. That's a wonderful answer. We're talking to George Chakiris of the West Side Story film. Sorry for my listeners if I have to talk rather slow and heavy into the mic, but I'm hoping George is hearing me this way. I am wondering what happened with Jerry Robbins and Robert Wise on that film. At a certain point, didn't Robbins leave the film and Wise kind of took over? Is that what happened?
No.
Oh.
You're talking about when Jerry left the film, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Again, I said Jerry was a perfectionist, and I think after a while, the producers felt he was taking too much time, and of course, time is money, and so they felt that they had to make the incredibly difficult decision of letting him go, which to me that's so extraordinary. I said, my good Lord, how do you fire Jerry Robbins? I mean, how do you do it? Without him, you don't have anything, you know? Fortunately for the film, and I think probably their timing in making that decision was well thought out, because there was quite a bit of the film that had already had been filmed. So they basically had him on film anyway, Jerry was let go. It was devastating to me personally, and I know Natalie was upset by it. I think a lot of people were bothered by it, but we had rehearsed everything for about 4 months before we ever started filming to begin with. So, and some of the cast had been in productions of West Side and had worked with Jerry, like I had as well. So when Jerry was gone, his spirit was still with us. I mean, we knew through the rehearsal process and having worked with him as well exactly the level that reaching for his level stayed with us. I know it stayed with me, and that was really important to me. But one of the things that they sometimes when I read Wikipedia on the online thing, mm-hmm. Wikipedia, there what they have written down as to how long Jerry actually worked on the film is so incorrect. I don't know how you get something like that right, but they really have it wrong.
Well, you can change
it. They say that Jerry was fired after that we shot the prologue in New York, which is absolutely wildly incorrect. Jerry, we had done the prologue in New York, the America number, Cool, I Feel Pretty, and some of the scenes. There was quite a lot that had been filmed. So Jerry's presence on the film was absolutely well intact, and I guess they felt. I think they would not have chosen to. This is just me, my imagination, my thought about it. I think again they felt not safe. I don't think anybody felt happy about having to do that, and that was a very difficult thing for anybody to do. To go to this man's house and give him that kind of information was devastating to him and probably very difficult. Well, Walter Mirisch was the person who had to do it. But there was enough of Jerry, more than enough of Jerry, on film before they had decided to make that decision. So what I'm saying is there's ample work of Jerry's on film, thank goodness, because with all due respect to everybody, this piece was Jerry Robbins to begin with in the theater. He produced, choreographed, and directed it, and he was the one who knew it inside out, and also he was the one who had brought us as actors, brought us emotionally close to what it was about. And I thank him for all of that. And again, I don't think the Mirisch Company or United Artists could ever have the same film without him.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Can I ask if you have any memories or thoughts about Natalie Wood?
About Natalie Wood?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope that's what you said.
Yes, yes.
First of all, she was just so beautiful, such a beautiful, perfect young woman. She was 23. She was sweet. She was funny. She was an incredible professional. She knew her craft, and she was a wonderfully gifted actress. And she also had something that not a lot of actors and actresses can be really good at their craft. But the people who stand out that bit more are people who have a special personal quality that just automatically comes with their work. Natalie had that. She had a wonderful personal quality. Audrey Hepburn had that. Betty Davis had it. I'm sure you know what I'm trying to say. So that their performances were just automatically several notches, there was just more substance to it. So she was beautiful, intelligent. I mean, obviously, I liked her a lot. I have to say, I loved her. She was just a darling Darling, Darling, Young Woman. I loved it a lot. I think we all did.
Now, after George Chakiris won the Oscar, or maybe it was before, you signed with Mirisch Pictures and became kind of a star in their firmament. Do you think that was ultimately, in retrospect, a good move, or did you sign too soon? What are your thoughts about your film career after West Side Story?
I say that again, that last question. What are my thoughts about...
About your film career after West Side Story.
Well, hey, you know, when you start with West Side Story, it's like, where do you go from here, you know? because you certainly can't match that. It never has been matched, and, you know, it's for anybody involved. The Mirisch Company, I mean, they've done so many wonderful films, but the film that's most remembered, even amongst the things that they've made, is West Side Story. So for everyone concerned, the people in it, the people behind the scenes, the producers and so on, it's like, you know, that was a peak that was impossible to repeat. Everybody in the business, every actor, actress, depending on, you know, they have to deal with different kinds of material in the course of their professional lives. And not every piece is as good or as thrilling to them as another piece. Some things are just inherently better through the way they're written, the subject matter, and so on. So for us and for me too, I was made a number of movies in the 60s, and I had clearly they weren't like West Side Story, they couldn't be, but there were a couple of experiences in particular, two movies of the movies that I made that I really did enjoy, that I really did like. One of them was the Young Girls of Rochefort with Catherine Deneuve and Gene Kelly. And the other was an Italian film I made with Claudia Cardinale called Babel's Girl. I love both of those for different reasons, but they were just, you know, no matter what you're working on, you do your best to bring the best of yourself to it. You know, as a professional person, there's an obligation to. No matter what you think of the material, and sometimes the material can be, you know, not great. But you still have to treat it as if it is great material. But again, to answer I think you're asking me, you know, what it was like after West Side.
Sure.
I never stopped to think that, hey, this isn't like West Side. I never thought that. But in retrospect, I think it's pretty easy to see that for everyone involved, and again, I include the Mirisch Company and people like them as well. West Side Story remains for them. It's the thing they're remembered for more than any other film they ever made. So I think that's probably true. But for Natalie, it could be very different because she did make. I thought Natalie made some really wonderful movies, and she was so incredible in them, and she was a star, deservedly so.
Among the people,
you know, life goes on, but it can't be West Side Story every time.
Sure. we're talking with George Chakiris here on Dave's Gone By, and even though none of the other films may have come up to West Side Story, as you mentioned, you got to work with some extraordinary people. One of the folks you were in a movie or two with was Yul Brynner. Do you have any memories of Yul Brynner?
I do. Yul was a lovely, lovely guy. He was, and he knew himself, and he knew film very, very well. He was an established, wildly established star when I first worked with him, and I was a novice. he was really interesting to watch because his knowledge and his professionalism and his presence on the screen were really quite wonderful. Yul had a special personal quality that I think we felt in everything that he did. And as a person to work with, you know, between takes, so he loved to play gin, and I did too. So some of us would gather in his trailer or wherever we were during lunch or break or something, and play gin. So what I mean to say is that socially, and he was friendly and open and a very very nice guy and an incredible professional actor.
Great. And also, what people may not know is that in the 1953 film Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, you were a dancer.
Right.
You were a dancer, and you were dancing behind one of the greatest stars in movie history, Marilyn Monroe. Memories?
Sorry?
Any memories of that experience?
Oh yeah. First of all, that number was choreographed by Jack Cole, and Jack Cole was her favorite choreographer. She never wanted anyone but him, and she was right. He was perfect for her. He was perfect for everybody. But he designed a really beautiful, a great number for her. That number is just a great number. But working behind her I didn't think it at the time, but in retrospect, you think back on things and you remember things. But first of all, I remember her always being intensely concentrated on her work. She was never late, you know, the way you hear things. I mean, she was absolutely on time and concentrated, and in rehearsal process as well. But she was very quiet. She wasn't gregarious, chatting with the people around her, that kind of thing. She was quiet and concentrated. When we started filming, whenever they killed cut, he said cut for any reason. She didn't go look in the mirror. She didn't go to her dressing room. She came right back to her starting position to start again. There was one other little thing. It may be hard to explain on the air, but Natasha Blytest. But I'd like to say about her, I felt that she was an incredibly kind person. I felt like she could never hurt a fly. She was just inherently kind. She was sweet. I think she was a good person. And by the way, Michelle Williams in this, who plays her in My Greek with Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
She was asked, what did you learn about Marilyn Monroe that you didn't know before? And she said, well, I learned how intelligent she was, and that she had a great sense of humor. And I loved what she had to say, because to say that she was intelligent is absolutely right. She was intelligent, but there was just something so good, so sweet, so beautiful about her, and not just the way she looked. She was fantastic. When she showed up, everything else disappeared. I have other Marilyn Monroe stories, but I'm afraid there's not time to tell them.
Well, tell one.
Slightly insightful as to, you know, how she dealt with things. But basically, she was kind. She was polite. She was quiet and highly, highly, highly concentrated on her work.
Well, I mean, that's great to hear. Can you tell us one of your many other Marilyn Monroe stories?
Well, yes. You know, I worked the chorus of a movie called No Business Like Show Business. It was with Marilyn Monroe, Ethel Merman, Donald O'Connor, Mitzi Gaynor, Johnny Ray, Dan Daly. And there is a number that is called the Heat Wave number. And Robert Alton was contracted to do all the numbers, and she wanted Jack Cole for that number. So what they did was Robert Alton staged a number for her to come in and see when he'd finished staging it. He had a dance in for her, someone who learned Marilyn's part, and a guy called Johnny Brush was going to be her partner in his version of the number. And then there were four guys in the back, and I was one of the four guys. So it took about 4 weeks to stage this number. And after about 4 weeks or so, she came in to see the number. And she came in by herself. She came in very quietly, very politely. She was just so beautiful. And she sat down, and we did the number for her, and she thanked Mr. Alton and everybody and very quietly, and then she left, and Jack Cole did the number. So she was right to, her instinct about who should be choreographing for her was right. Mr. Alton did a couple of things for her in the movie, which are fine, but his style was wildly different to Jack Cole's. She was right to get Jack Cole, and I don't know what kind of discussion went on, because I wasn't privy to any of that, to actually have Mr. Alton allow Jack Cole to do it, because I'm sure they had his permission. But anyway, it all worked out, and Jack Cole did the number, and it's a great number. And she's absolutely, it was just on the nose for her. Jack Cole knew exactly what to do for her.
Of all the other people, and there have been many, many, that you have worked with in TV and movies, who else has really stood out or become a great friend or a great memory to you? Who else really stands out in your heart?
Well, Rosemary Clooney.
Ooh.
I loved Rosemary. She was such, Rosie is, what you see is what you get kind of thing. You know, she's so honest. She's so down to earth. She's so kind. She was a great person. She was always incredibly nice to me. You know, after I met her originally, in the Love You Didn't Do Right By Me number from White Christmas, where there were just four guys. And then I started getting fan mail, but she was always so generous to me, and she would tell that story herself in interviews. So she was just a darling, darling person, and I have really sweet memories of her, because she was just a great person, a wonderful, wonderful human being.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Anyone else?
Well, let's see. Elaine Stritch. I worked with Elaine Stritch. I did the National Company of Company with Elaine.
Oh, wow.
Elaine is an extraordinary person and woman on the stage, person in the theater. She's phenomenal, and she's also she has great wit, and she's very funny. And she doesn't try to be funny. It's just that her observation and things that she says, a comment that she says, is hitting the nail on the head so wonderful, and therefore can be really, really funny. Being with Elaine for as long as I was a treasured kind of time. She's someone else that I have great respect for, and I really love a lot. And I was lucky to be around her, and I haven't seen her for a while, but she's someone I admire really a lot.
Now, let me ask George Chakiris, are you still doing any acting, singing, or not at all now?
Well, I stepped away from it, I'll say, accidentally. It was a choice, actually, but I haven't for the past 8 or 9 years. What happened was I was working in different parts of the world, and each time I was away, I would be gone for 7, 8, 9 months at a time. The last time I was doing a play in London, and when I came home, I had a little dog, a little Italian greyhound, beautiful, beautiful little dog. I loved him so much. His name was Sammy. And I looked at Sammy and I thought, 8, 9 months is a long time out of his life, and I don't want to do that to him again. So I decided I was going to stay home with Sammy, just be with Sammy, because he needed me, and hey, I needed him too. So that's what I did. I wasn't going to call Nate. I wasn't going to call anybody for work of any kind. So I was with Sammy, and I was having a lovely kind of sabbatical, if you like, doing exactly that. And then I don't remember who it was, but somehow I got involved in taking jewelry classes at Barnes Hall, the Frank Lloyd Wright building on Vermont on Hollywood Boulevard. And that just grabbed me. I just loved doing it. But that was about, I first took my first class there about, well, now it's probably almost 10 years. So I fell in love with that so much that I just kept doing it. I kept going to class. I brought my own equipment. I have a freestanding garage that I turned into a studio, so I could work on my own time here, and that was great because Sammy could be with me if he wanted to come out there. You know, it was great. It wasn't intentional, but over time, making different pieces, I developed what is called a line, simply because I had 20 or 25 pieces that I'd made. People that I know downtown, in the jewelry mart down there, put me in touch with a Japanese distributor who wanted to see my pieces. So I met with him, and he saw my pieces, and he made a really huge order. He ordered quite a few things from me, and he has been my distributor in Japan for the last 3 years, and he's selling at an incredible department store called Mitsukoshi in Tokyo. The department stores in Japan are just another ball game altogether. They're just extraordinary. But so I've been selling in Japan for almost 3 years. But here, I haven't connected with any retail outfits, department stores, or anything like that yet. So here, at the moment, I have a website for if anybody is interested in looking at anything. There's a website that they can go to.
What is the website?
It's George Shakiris, one word, .com.
George Chakiris, Chakiris .com, to find out about George's career as well as all the jewelry that you are making. Just another moment or two with George, and I want to thank you first of all so much for being so open and so fun in the neighborhood and telling us all these stories. Let me ask, on the personal side, are you in any kind of relationships at this point? Have you been seeing anyone, dating? Do you have a partner? Anything?
No, none of the above. it's been one of those spells where, like, it's interesting, you know, in the course of what you're doing and the importance that you place on it, sometimes things take such a precedence that there's kind of not time for extracurricular activities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask, in the years when you were in Hollywood and in TV, was your orientation a problem, a secret, or none or all of the above?
None of the above.
So you did not have any kind of difficulty or any of that. It was just no big deal.
Not to me, no.
Great.
Big deal. I was a regular person, I know what you're talking about.
Of course.
One of the things that, you know, I never like to get into this area of discussion because people personal lives, there's so much more to someone's personal life than what where you're kind of going. I don't mean that
sure.
criticism. But for example, I never speak about anyone I've ever dated or any of that stuff. I never do it out of respect to the other person's privacy. I just never do it. But I can give you names. I don't want to give you names, but I could give you names of a number of women in my life. You know, so that's important to me. But out of respect to them, I'll give you a couple. Marina Vladi, I made a movie with her called about the theft of Mona Lisa. That was, and we're still great friends. I saw her the last time I was in France last year.
Mm-hmm.
Princess Soraya Khashoggi. You know, she was. I don't know if you know anything about her, but But this was a while ago. She was young. She had five children. She was married to Abdad Khashoggi, who was, I think he was in dealing in arms and something wonderful like that. But she was important to me, you know.
Okay. My question was really about whether you had to hide for the sake of your career, not so much to get stories about the people you dated of whatever, you know, style or gender. It was just about, did you have to be in the closet, as it were?
Never.
Cool. Good.
What was there to hide? There's nothing to hide, you know?
Great.
No.
Okay. Just you know, that's weirdly where I wanted to go with that question, but it's great that you mentioned these people. And I guess the other question that I wanted to ask before we run out of time here is, people may not know that you were on the very last episode of The Partridge Family. What was that like?
Well, it was great. Shirley Jones is a good friend of mine. We had the same management at that time as well. it was great. It was fun to work with Shirley, who's another beautiful person. Shirley is fantastic. She's just, you know, she's so real. She's so down to earth. Shirley's another one of those wonderful people. So it was great because it was a romantic relationship that we had on that episode, as I recall. So it was really sweet to be with Shirley. It was great.
Cool. And it has been sweet and great talking with George Chakiris here in the neighborhood. I want to remind everybody that if you want to check out both his persona, his life, his career, as well as his jewelry, please go to georgechakiris.com, and you can see all sorts of stuff there. I want to wish you certainly a very, very wonderful 2012. Are you healthy? Is everything fine?
Everything was so far. Everything.
Well, you know, as you're getting up there in years, it's a question worth asking. Is everything working? Is there surgery?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. You never know.
But thank God, now you're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. Absolutely. Yes.
Wonderful. Well, it has been a pleasure. I'm sorry if I brought you to a couple of areas that you didn't really want to talk about, but I think we had a great time discussing your life and career, and I thank you so much for visiting.
Yeah, I've enjoyed talking to you as well, so thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great 2012.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.